Actually,
the heroic horns are really the only reason
it's
why
heroic.
I love having you,
yeah.
because I know we're going to hear that,
it's completely
that awesome
just
sounder.
An excuse for the music.
Pretty much, yeah. It is time for Thing Not a Thing, in which Gene and I look at all of the crazy stuff that's happened this week in the news that has people upset on our Facebook feeds, and we try to decide whether it is in fact a thing or if it's not really a thing. Gene, you ready?
You know, yeah.
All right, you're providing the things or non things this week, so I'll let you start them up.
I propose the things. I want to start with the last thing because to me this was the biggest thing.
Okay, go.
The
for
biggest
it.
Thing was that, and this really is kind of a big thing on my Facebook feed is that yesterday, oddly coincidental, I think. Barack Obama and George W. Bush gave two separate speeches in two separate places for two separate reasons.
Yes.
Obama was speaking at campaign events for two candidates for office, one in, what am I going to say, New Jersey, the other in Virginia.
Okay.
And he and George Bush was speaking in New York at a security event.
Mm-hmm.
His event had been scheduled for a long time, so these were I don't think that these were put together by plan. They both said remarkably similar things, remarkably similar things, overlapping each other, and neither of them really talked about Trump by name, but described some of the most destructive attributes of the current administration.
Such as
George Bush, who does have a way with a turn of phrase that we forget. You know, he came up with compassionate conservatism,
right.
which really caught on and helped get him elected
in
2000. And yesterday he talked about casual cruelty. And he was talking in very broad brush terms about people who are in elected office using their platform to make belittling comments about others who were also serving and about name calling and online bullying and, you know, a whole lot of stuff that very obviously is the shoe fits.
Yeah.
And I thought, I mean, I was just stricken watching this speech. He talked about how the about acknowledging that people should be, you know, basically, this was basically the argument of the content of their character, not the color of their skin, and that those who are giving encouragement to bigotry and white supremacy specifically, that this goes against the American creed, which I thought was, I was shocked at the verbiage, especially after I learned that he wrote the speech.
Yeah.
I don't associate him with this kind of really thoughtful craft in terms of the language of the speech. But the message was really important, which was about breaking down democratic institutions by breaking the faith of the people in those institutions, that the Russians are involved in trying to do that through disinformation and lifting up false stories and so forth. And Barack Obama said things that you've heard him say 10,000 times, but everybody
but
was just happy to hear it
message.
Again.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would never know that they weren't, you know, brothers from the same party. Listening to them.
Well, increasingly they are, right? Because I mean the way that the Republican Party in particular has gone. I mean, we said it on election night that any notion that the Republican Party is the party of Ronald Reagan ended on the night of the 2016 presidential election.
Totally.
It's the party of Trump now, and what you're seeing in the Republican Party is those elements of Reagan Republicanism being squeezed out by the elements of Trump Republicanism.
That's
and that fighting that's going on right
and
now.
And I think, by the way, it was in this same week that John McCain received the Liberty Medal or whatever it is.
Yeah, and got into that dust-up with Trump over Twitter,
made similar, thoughtful and well-stated comments in his speech.
So there's a couple things going on here. There's that, first of all. There's the fact that when every time we've really tried to focus here on this show, and there's a lot of sort of advocacy to this effect in our community from a variety of different arenas to promote civility, to promote a sense of sort of forgetting about polarization, forgetting about just sort of this notion that we're good and the other side is evil, continue to have significant arguments about issues on which we disagree. Let's not paper over the disagreements, but sit down and talk about it. And in order to do that, we have to make a conscious effort to ignore the elephant in the room, which is the fact that the president is a very uncivil person who is very loudly uncivil and uses this to his advantage, and B, the fact that the national news media is primarily a business, which means it seeks ratings, which means not only does it cover that, it amplifies it. It gives it an extra microphone. So we've got to ignore both the president and the national news media, which is a really difficult thing to do, because even if the president were not being amplified by a news media that's giving him an extra microphone, it is the most powerful office in the country, which means whoever occupies that office has a very significant impact on public discourse. So to push back against it is a really difficult thing.
I mean, what has surprised me about this in terms of the social media response, friends of mine, some of whom are elected officials, some of their commentary has been, oh, George Bush, you know, negative things about George Bush.
Yeah.
And you know, my attitude is, I'm not the president of his fan club. Nobody would think that I was.
Right.
But when he says things that are just obviously
correct, yes,
you really have to get up and applaud.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That
sort of polarization that's leading people to have that response. I'm also amused by the extent to which people have that response with respect to John McCain, because I know you've seen this, and I've seen this too. People are just confused about John McCain. Like, sometimes he says things that are just 100% correct, and sometimes he goes completely off the deep end, and I don't know what to make of it. It's like, yes, you agree with him some of the time, and you disagree with him other times. That's kind of how human beings work, and the fact that we're confused when that happens is a really strong indication of how much we've all just totally bought into the idea that there are two ways of looking at the world, and one side is good and the other side is evil. So whenever you have someone like John McCain who doesn't always fit into that those two categories, it's like, I don't understand where he's coming from.
And
why should we listen to him, he must have
something up his sleeve, or you know, whatever.
The other kind of unfortunate thing about what George W. Bush said, and I think this is worth emphasizing, like his argument that nativism and bigotry and cruelty are opposed to the American creed, let's complicate that a little bit. One of my favorite political science books of all time is a book called Civic Ideals by Roger Smith, where he talks about multiple traditions of American political thought. There's liberalism, republicanism, and what he called ascriptive Americanism, which is the nativism and the bigotry and the prejudice, because that is a part of American political discourse, and it has been a significant component of how Americans have defined themselves as Americans. So it's not actually quite correct to say it's completely at odds with American identity. What it is completely at odds with the American identity that we should be promoting and supporting and celebrating.
Right.
And furthering. Like, the nativism has been a part of American history, but it's something that we need to be pushing against and pushing away from.
That's right.
Slight complication of what Bush said, but he's totally right otherwise.
Right. I think if you watch the speech in its entirety, which I haven't yet, but I've seen very extensive clips from it, and I would suspect that history would be discovered in there. These are tendencies, and these are definitely tendencies that people and countries and governments have when they're afraid.
Yes.
And when they and in today's world, there's plenty to be afraid of.
Yeah.
I think that George Bush knows a fair amount about that. I think he exploited some of that when he was president.
Yeah.
But now that he's away from it, you know, he can be he can afford to be thoughtful
and
about
even
it.
15 years ago, when Bush was president at the height of the post 9/11 world, go back and listen to what he said and what he did and how he acted.
That's right.
Bush, to his credit, went out of his way to say, this is not a holy war against Islam.
That's right.
We're not attacking. This isn't a clash of civilizations. We're not going after a worldview. We're not going after the entire Middle East. This is a targeted campaign against the people who committed this act, and let's not associate every single person who lives in that region with Osama bin Laden. Let's not associate every Muslim with Osama bin Laden, because there were a lot of people who wanted to.
Yeah, and he said these things in the immediate aftermath.
Yes,
this was just like 1 + 1 = 2
God, imagine if Donald Trump had been president in September of 2001. It would have been way worse.
No, we can't imagine that. It's a Friday. The weather's beautiful. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend in Chapel Hill.
Okay, so that's the thing. We got time for one more. What do you got?
We got one more. Okay, the call between the president and the widow of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, claiming, and let's leave the call aside, but his false claim that other presidents never did this. I watched that press conference live. That was so ridiculous.
Not a thing, because this is Trump. This is him saying that he's a BS artist. It's what Fareed Zakaria said about him last year. It's 100% true.
It's his knee-jerk.
What comes out of his mouth has no actual relationship to the actual truth. It's not that he's a liar, because if he were a liar, then there would be relationship between what he says and the truth. It's not that. He BS's. He gets up and says whatever he needs to say in order to make himself look good in the moment. 5 minutes later, if he has to say something else, he'll say something else.
Yeah,
this is just example number 4,050 this week of that happening.
That we have it on the record.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you know, and he was confronted about that in real time, just immediately. A reporter said, how can you say that?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I was told. Well, it turns out he was told by General Kelly.
Yeah.
Who speculated that because President Obama didn't call him, that he didn't think that President Obama did this. And in fact,
Might not have even said exactly that either. Like that. That's
well. He's General Kelly said yesterday that that's pretty much what he told the president.
I was saying this is not a thing, because I have stopped listening to anything comes out of the White House. What is a thing is that there is apparently a sizable percentage of Americans who actually still believe the words that come out of Trump's mouth, as if there is a connection between him and the
truth. Apparently a very substantial number of people think that the media makes things up. Constructs stories out of whole cloth. And, you know, that's our job. Yours and mine.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that's just... That's
There are valid criticisms to be made of the news media. They're a business. They amplify conflict, and that's not something that we should be rewarding.
Yes, you know, Bill Clinton made a very savvy observation about this on television, of course, and said that, you know, the very thing that makes for good TV, which is people yelling at each other and having conflict and being much more extreme, is the very thing that makes for very bad governance.
But here's the thing, and this is going to be my last point, and then I'll let you have the last word. The media is a business, which means they give us conflict. They give us conflict because that's what we tell the media we want. That's what we stop on when we're flipping through the channels. Those are the clickbait articles that we all hate. They're clickbait articles that keep getting perpetuated themselves because they get clicks. We click on them. If we made a conscious effort to watch the shows that emphasize civility and downplay the conflict, if we make an emphasis to resist the clickbait, then eventually the news outlets will pick up on that cue and they'll start giving us something else. Ultimately, it's on us as consumers.
You don't believe that, do you?
I think if 300 million Americans changed their behavior, then sooner or later the media would change its behavior too, because it's a business.
Well, and I got to say this about that business, which is I could write a story that says that 100,000 planes landed safely today, and ain't nobody going to read that story because they expect that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to know about the one that skidded off the runway, but everybody's okay. They want to know about the one that almost crashed.
Oh, I'm not saying it is going to happen. I'm saying if a million people clicked on the 100,000 planes landing safely, that's what you would get from CNN.
All right, Chapel Hill, you have your orders.
There
click
you
on
go.
That. Click on that good news story.
There
that,
you go.
That talks about heroic horns or something. He's playing me off.
I thought that was the right time to play it.
Oh, the red light's going to go on.
The red light's going to go on.
That's
all right.
True.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Well, yeah, I can't believe I got this guy to be on my show. He's handsome. He's smart. He's local. He's talented. It's you.
Is it me?
It's you.
Oh.
Yes, we're having an encore performance of a previous program with Dr. Aaron Keck.
Very good.
Talking about whatever it is you want to talk about. You know, we always have a plan and we never
get to that plan. Absolutely
not. That's why those shows are the best.
Yeah, that sounds good. Gene Boldick, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Aaron.